coming up.
Right, they like you, but they want you to go even bigger.
That would just flummox everybody.
Regular listeners will know I have had a little difficulty in the past.
Something bad has definitely happened.
I'm taking the win.
How do you say that?
You were on Wheel of Fortune.
It's such a great skill to have.
This is it. It's vocal age, isn't it, Chloe?
Yeah, it's weird because I can sound quite young, I think.
It's about vocal age, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I just had the whole thing wrong when I went into it.
Maybe a penny has dropped.
I played like drunk wenches in a field.
Ba, 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 ba.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello, welcome to How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. Here's my co-host, Samantha Boffin.
Hello. Well, that was a very big build-up, wasn't it? And here's my co-host, Mark Rise.
Hello. Well, this is the performance podcast for voice actors, where we talk to different voice actors every week, play around with some scripts.
And discover there isn't just one way to read a script. There are lots and lots of different ways. Mm. So, Mark, right, okay, true or false?
Okay.
I don't start my day with a smoothie. But I do have one mid-morning.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah? Well,
you're more of a
night.
You're more of a night owl than a morning person, so mm-hmm. I think that's probably true. You probably ease yourself into the morning with coffee and then have a smoothie mid-morning. Yeah, I can believe that.
I wish I did have a smoothie, but I don't like smoothies because they're too thick.
Oh, okay.
I
Fine.
Think so.
It's like, okay. Here's my true or false then. Back in school, I did woodwork as a subject, and I made a complete chessboard across a term. True or false?
With the chess pieces?
No, they were plastic chess pieces.
Do you know, I would love to think of you woodworking away on your... I don't think that you did.
You're correct. I did do woodwork, but I didn't make a chessboard. I made a tray. It was a very good tray, and it's a tray that now my sister has inherited from my mum because she kept it for the 50 years.
That's very sweet. But chessboards are tricky beasts.
Very tricky, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, very much. Yeah. Well, let's welcome our special guest. It's voice actor Chloe Yay. Gilgallon. Hello, Chloe.
Hello,
you?
Chloe.
Hello. I'm very well, thanks. Nice to be here.
Let's find out a little bit more about Chloe, shall we?
Absolutely. So Chloe is an actress and a voice actor, originally from Twickenham, now living by the sea in Essex with her American husband and her two teenagers. So at drama school, she was told she had a voice made for radio.
Not a face, luckily.
No, well, absolutely.
Luckily.
And so she fell in love with audio drama. And in fact, the first audio drama job she had won Silver Radio Award, Best Ooh. Drama Special at the New York Festival. Wow.
Gosh. Well, Chloe works across a range of voice acting genres, including video games such as Battlefield 6, Dragon Quest 3, Skull and Bones, and The Settlers, ADR, promos, audiobooks, and explainer videos. She's often booked for subjects around anti and postnatal care, fertility, and midwifery. And get this, she has been the voice of God for 3 seasons of the new UK version of Wheel of Fortune with Graham Norton.
Yes,
nice,
absolutely.
Nice. I was actually on Wheel of Fortune once, Chloe.
No.
I lost.
Oh.
You were on Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah, as a contestant, yeah. But I didn't do very well, so we don't talk about it.
It's got to be somewhere on the internet.
Yes.
Oh, gosh, yeah, absolutely. So what's your fun fact, Chloe?
Well, I have recorded in a studio with Pete Townsend from The Who.
Oh.
Yeah.
Literally with him?
Yes, but wow. I was 10 years old, and I was with other 10-year-olds. We recorded a song from The Iron Man. By Ted Hughes, the musical.
Wow.
Oh,
nice.
So we all had to kind of, a bit like, Another Brick in the Wall, that kind of, we came in for a chorus.
How cool is that?
I'm desperately trying to think of a Quadrophenia pun, but I can't, so I'm just going to say, let's have a look at the first script of our show and ask, who do you say that? I did it.
Oh, just there.
Play How Do You Say That?
This is a lovely script I've brought along. It's one of Mark's favourites. It's an audiobook.
Yes, I wondered if it was an audiobook. It feels like an internal monologue almost.
Yes, this one is. I didn't bring any dialogue with me, but I could have done. But there is a sort of combination of Yorkshire and Bristol. And I thought, that would just flummox everybody. So
okay.
I won't bring that. So I just brought a little bit from the narrative part of the book.
And is the narrative part your voice, in effect, or a character?
Actually, that's a very good point. Most times when I do the narrative part of an audiobook, and I might be wrong on this, but this is just what I do, it's more like me than any other part of the book,
sure.
if you see what I mean.
You.
Kind of, yes, because I kind of assume that they've booked me.
That's
because
why they picked you,
the basic narrative voice is closer to me. And as in this case, I'm also the kind of lead woman in it, as it were. And that's when my voice slightly probably changes just to a dialogue version of my voice.
I'm just curious where it kind of comes within the book and what's just happened beforehand.
This is quite far on in the book. So it's about 2/3 of the way through.
Right.
Yeah, we're just introducing the idea that she's been called in to a police station.
Yes.
Something bad has happened.
Yeah, I think you're just skimming it that something bad had happened.
Something bad has definitely happened.
Not too bad, because it is a light romance, actually, this this book. But not too bad.
Oh, well, I'll give it a go first.
All right.
And I know all that. I know my checklist now. So audiobook, not too fast. Try and bring... Yeah, okay.
Right, okay.
Just trying to do the checklist in my own head. All right. It feels less like an office space and more like an interrogation room at a police station. The blinds have been pulled down and shut tightly, and I'm offered nothing but water in a paper cup. As I wait, I wonder if they'll offer a phone call. Having never been in this situation before, I'm unsure how to behave. I wasn't so much as sent to the headmaster's office at school. My entire life has been kept in order, following each rule carefully, ticking every box. And now I'm about to be punished. It suddenly feels unfair, like all the years of good behaviour should count in my favour, and I should be let off.
Ooh, yeah. I kind of felt like I was, we were with you as you were discovering it, if that makes sense. If you were, we were in there with you.
Yes. So yes, absolutely.
In the space
so it was
with you.
Yes, unfurling in front of our eyes, as it were, or front of our ears, shall we say?
Yes.
It was quite hushed.
Yes, I thought it would be. I thought that being dragged into that might need to be taken down a notch or two,
because
there's nothing bombastic about that passage, is there? Particularly.
No, there is not really, not about that moment in time. She's quite sassy, I would say, as a person.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So she's quite curious and quite, not so much outspoken, but she's got quite a lot of attitude herself.
I guess I was bringing more of the, I'm scared of this thing that I've never been to before.
Out. Yes. Yeah,
that
yeah, yeah.
Came across, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was it, actually. Perhaps, and you wouldn't have had the benefit of knowing who this person is, perhaps she wouldn't have been so cowed by it, simply curious about it.
Okay. Interesting. Hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But I thought pace-wise, I really liked it.
Me too.
I thought that was great.
Oh, Chloe, I got the pace right on an audiobook part. Gosh.
Hooray!
I'm taking the win. Regular listeners will know I have had a little difficulty in the past, maybe. And the thing that I noticed in taking the pace down and doing what you're saying is correct pace, the story is so much easier to tell.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes, it is.
And it lands more. Mm.
Maybe a penny has dropped. Yeah. Who knows?
Well, you listen to them a lot, so you totally get it. And of course, as you've probably found when you listen to them, they're all different paces, actually.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, yeah. Depending
there
on what kind of story
is. There is no singular pace, but
indeed.
And it varies within the book as well.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah,
absolutely, it does.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Chloe, what are you going to give us?
Right. Okay. Let's have a go. It feels less like an office space and more like an interrogation room at a police station. The blinds have been pulled down and shut tightly, and I'm offered nothing but water in a paper cup. As I wait, I wonder if they'll offer a phone call. Having never been in this situation before, I'm unsure how to behave. I wasn't so much as sent to the headmaster's office at school. My entire life has been kept in order, following each rule carefully, ticking every box, and now I'm about to be punished. It suddenly feels unfair, like all the years of good behaviour should count in my favour, and I should be let off.
I liked that so much.
I did as well. It was very questioning as well. So offered nothing but water in a paper cup, had a big question mark on the end, and it's like, why have they done that?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Just a question, Sam, because very often we've said in narrative pieces like this, this is obviously a character thinking to themselves, so it is internal monologue.
Yeah.
But very often we've said not to humanise that. And Chloe humanised it beautifully, I thought. And it really worked.
I like it. And I do that. So, I mean, I know that different people have different ideas about that.
But I'm
always very happy to humanise that bit. Because as you say, this is particularly with a first person narrative like this.
It's a character, isn't it? It's a person.
When she speaks, and that's her outward dialogue. But this is her inner dialogue.
Yes.
So this is how she's thinking and feeling. So I thought that worked beautifully, actually.
Yes, it did. It did. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, let's all pack up and go home now, shall we?
I was going to say, yes, I think she should have definitely got this gig. No.
Well, in which case, let's find out how differently Sam did it then. Because, or not differently. Let's have a listen.
Yeah, okay. It feels less like an office space and more like an interrogation room at a police station. The blinds have been pulled down and shut tightly, and I'm offered nothing but water in a paper cup. As I wait, I wonder if they'll offer a phone call. Having never been in this situation before, I'm unsure how to behave. I wasn't so much as sent to the headmaster's office at school. My entire life has been kept in order, following each rule carefully, ticking every box, and now I'm about to be punished. It suddenly feels unfair, like all the years of good behaviour should count in my favour, and I should be let off.
Yes, a bit more perky. Yes, I can see that, and that's presumably knowing the character a bit more.
Well, and also, interestingly, Chloe's read was fab, which I loved. And the only difference really, I mean, obviously we have our own ways of reading things, but the only difference really is that this is a mature woman, shall we say. Mm-hmm. This is a, you know, and so tonally, my voice is older than Chloe's, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
And that really
mm-hmm.
is the difference in the casting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
had this been a 32-year-old woman, I would have been wrong for it and Chloe would have been much more in the right place, if you see what I mean.
Thank you.
But, well, this is it. It's vocal age, isn't it, Chloe?
It's vocal age all the time. Vocal age, absolutely. You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also, it plays into your script that you bring along. I am not surprised that you get scripts like this, which we will get onto, because you sound relatably the right age for the next script. Should we go straight onto that?
Well, we can, yes, but before we do, let me just do the little legal bit. It's worthwhile remembering we are working on real scripts. We've changed some names and details to avoid copyright issues, and you can find both the scripts we're using in the show notes of this episode.
How do you say that?
Right, so we've kept them all on tenterhooks now. So, Chloe, tell us a bit about this script and why you brought it along.
Sure. This is a script from a set of maternity video explainer videos. Yeah. They wanted a kind of warm and friendly read without being too preachy.
Yeah.
Obviously for new parents who are navigating their way through having just become parents.
So where would they see this? Would they see this as they watch it at home on a link sent to them, or would they watch it on a screen in the hospital, or what do you reckon?
I think it was actually probably for both. I think it was probably initially at the hospital.
Right.
But then they could get, you know, they could obviously watch it at home as well.
If we go back to that casting bit about it, that's why your voice will really work for this. Mm. Because, you know, you will feel like bang smack in the middle of, you know, that because it's a window of opportunity, isn't it?
Sure.
Being pregnant and giving birth.
Yes.
And so it's quite, you know, so I can see how your voice particularly would work so well in this context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really I think because they kind of wanted... They want someone who has maybe had that experience but isn't too kind of, I don't know, matronly kind of thing.
Exactly.
No, they want young mum as opposed to matron,
absolutely.
Don't they?
Yes.
So it isn't scary. It's just, this is what happens and it's all right. Yeah.
Whereas
just
I'm surprised that young mums don't want Hattie Jakes every time.
Maybe they do.
Exactly. Maybe they do.
But it's true. It's all in the So they might cast me for menopause stuff, but they wouldn't. They wouldn't cast me for the. It's true, you know. It's interesting.
It's interesting.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, Sam, you're going first on this. I'm interested to see what you do with it.
Okay. However you choose to feed your baby, you may want to experience skin-to-skin contact after birth. If you're unable to hold your baby straight after birth and you have a partner, they can have skin-to-skin contact with your baby until you're ready to take over. We understand that everyone is different, and your midwife will be there to support you in this first hour after birth. Remember, babies need a lot of love and attention as they get used to their new world, and it's not possible to spoil them. Your baby has been close to you during your whole pregnancy, so being held and comforted will keep them safe.
You warmed into that second paragraph a lot more, yeah. I thought. It's like you humanised it a lot more. It's easier to do that because of the words, I think.
Well, I realised at the end of that first paragraph that I hadn't lent into that aspect enough. I would definitely have gone back and done that first paragraph again because it just wasn't warm enough. And yeah, I just had the whole thing wrong when I went into it.
I don't think you had it wrong.
I would have done it a different way.
Yeah, do you think you were too informational, maybe?
Yeah, I do. And yeah. I think that, you know, I was really aware of that when I was partway through. Mm. So I thought, I wonder if I can warm that up for that last paragraph. But
yeah, it certainly did, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It raises a really interesting question about how do you go into something cold but make it warm? Is it the smile on your face? Is it your stance? Is it how would you do that?
You do it and then you redo it if you don't like it, I guess. I mean, that's as simple as that.
That's the beauty of what we do, isn't it?
It's the beauty of pre-recording, absolutely.
And I think once you notice it, if you've noticed it in your own head,
yes,
the chances are you need to do it again kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you don't, until you literally open your mouth and the words come out.
You're not quite sure how it's going to happen.
You're not quite sure how it's going to happen. Regardless of what's happening in your head.
Yep. Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's why we often go back at the end of a session and do the beginning bit again.
Yes.
Because you've warmed into it.
Yeah.
Definitely with the second paragraph.
Yeah.
You could definitely, you felt yourself kind of relax into it.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, at the beginning, I think maybe it was a bit more clinical.
Yes,
perhaps,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because it's only a little change, actually, in your head and in your the way that you do it.
Yeah.
It's quite a subtle shift, but it makes such a difference on Mike. It's amazing.
What did you do to change it with your body or with your
I think probably both my body. Well, actually, all those things, actually, when you say thoughts. So it is that smile. It is that softening of the body, and it is that leaning into it and really visualizing who I'm talking to talking to them.
Yes.
So it was a whole kind of it's a whole sort of complex visualization of things, I suppose, that make the difference. But it was really interesting that I'm actually pleased that you could hear it because to me it was quite a shift because I remember thinking I'm coming to the end of this paragraph, I need to warm this next bit up a lot. So so I'm really pleased that came across in many ways.
Yeah, absolutely did.
But it's what we say so often, isn't it? It's not reading it, it's acting it. Even if it's a corporate piece.
Yeah. Absolutely. Every time.
Okay, Mark, right. So your turn to do the baby
Let's
bits.
See if I can be warm with baby. Okay, all right. However you choose to feed your baby, you may want to experience skin-to-skin contact after birth. If you're unable to hold your baby straight after birth and you have a partner, they can have skin-to-skin contact with your baby until you're ready to take over. We understand that everyone's different, and your midwife will be there to support you in this first hour after birth. Remember, babies need a lot of love and attention as they get used to their new world, and it's not possible to spoil them. Your baby has been close to you during your whole pregnancy, so being held and comforted will help them feel safe.
That was nice.
It really was nicely done, actually, really beautifully done. And the just interesting to hear it with a man's voice, actually.
Yes, yes.
I tried to be as gentle as I could. I was holding my hands like I could see a baby's head.
Oh.
You know, because I thought that might, from what you had said in the previous part, I thought that might be a sensible way to actually visualise it.
I thought it was really nice, and especially after the sort of second sentence, you really sort of again relaxed into it. I think it's quite a weird sentence to sort of start with.
Yes,
somehow.
I guess so. Yeah.
When you did them, Chloe, did you do them all in one session, or was this a home?
It was a home thing.
Home thing.
Self-directed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I kind of did it over the course of a couple of days. Some of them were quite long.
Oh, I'd like to hear what you brought to it.
Ooh. Yes, absolutely.
See if I can remember. Okay. However you choose to feed your baby, you may want to experience skin-to-skin contact after birth. If you're unable to hold your baby straight after birth and you have a partner, they can have skin-to-skin contact with your baby until you're ready to take over. We understand that everyone is different, and your midwife will be there to support you in this first hour after birth. Remember, babies need a lot of love and attention as they get used to their new world, and it's not possible to spoil them. Your baby has been close to you during your whole pregnancy, so being held and comforted will help them feel safe.
It's so warm. It's so warm. It really is. It's lovely.
And the higher register of your voice as well.
Yes.
Actually, interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because I can sound quite young, I think, even though I'm not.
She's 85, but she sounds really young.
I've got my pension.
The warmth of it came out. You would feel comforted by that. You would take that information in and go, I'm not doing anything wrong. This is exactly where I need to be at this point.
Sometimes I feel like I do these things quite fast when I'm actually doing them. But that's how it feels when I'm reading it.
Yeah.
But that's the speed that they wanted it. So I don't know whether or not that, yeah.
It also felt very joyful, actually, the whole...
Yes,
there was an element of joy in there, which I think was absolutely right for this particular moment, because this is obviously, postnatal, so it's...
Yes.
It's really lovely.
Well, we've got two lovely scripts this week, but we do have the wildcard section of the show, so we can approach these scripts in a very different way, perhaps.
Yes, we can. So, Chloe, can you pick one of the scripts and give one of us a new motivation or a character?
Mm. Okay. Let's go for script two. Mm-hmm. As if it's a dialogue between two people having an argument at a posh restaurant.
That's a good one.
And, I have to pick who wants to do it. Who should do it? Oh, blimey. Go on then, Mark.
Oh, thanks. I just got that impression coming through the ether that was going to be me. It's like, okay. So,
sorry.
An argument, but you're in a public place, so you probably don't want it to be an all-out row.
Yep.
Oof. Okay. All right. Okay. Yes. But however you choose to feed your baby, you may want to experience skin-to-skin contact after birth. If you're unable to hold your baby straight after birth and you've got a partner, they can have skin-to-skin contact with your baby until you're ready to take over. We understand that everyone's different. Your midwife will be there to support you in the first hour after birth. But remember, babies need a lot of love and attention as they get used to their new world. It's not possible to spoil them. Your baby's been close to you the whole time during your pregnancy, so being held and comforted will help them feel safe.
Whoa.
They didn't like each other, those two people, did
they?
They
did not like each other.
They're going to get a divorce.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. How was that to do, Mark?
It was interesting. I didn't find it too difficult to switch the first time, but then to switch back, I found it more difficult.
Because you'd forgotten who that person was?
Maybe I hadn't done in... Yes, it's an interesting way of putting it. It's maybe because I hadn't fully developed that character by the time I'd switched the first time.
Yeah. Okay, so I will choose one for you then, Chloe. Okay. I would like you to do the first script.
Yep.
And I would like you to be a giraffe.
Oh, God. Okay.
So, yeah, I think we can make you a kind of quite a happy giraffe in a sort of animation setting. You can have another giraffe with you if you wish. You can
maybe
have a friend or a child.
Okay. It feels less like an office space and more like an interrogation room at a police station. The blinds have been pulled up and shut tightly, and I'm offered nothing but water in a paper cup. As I wait, I wonder if they'll offer a phone call. Having never been in this situation before, I'm unsure how to behave. What's that? I wasn't so much as sent to the headmaster's office at school. My entire life has been kept in order, following each rule carefully, ticking every box, and now I'm about to be punished. It suddenly feels unfair.
like all the years of good behaviour, should count in my favour. And I should be let off.
I saw the moment that you reached up to be able to eat the very high leaves.
Yes,
and it's like, that was lovely. I tell you, in animation, I had a mental image of when you were talking about being sent to the headmaster's office. You know, like Disney do sometimes, like a cartoon giraffe, sitting
yes.
down, crossing his four legs outside yes. the headmaster's office, but looking kind of quite glum that he'd been sent there.
That's what I loved most about it, actually, is the fact that this was an ordinary person, didn't have to be a giraffe, but there were elements in there that were giraffe-ish. So that lovely kind of, you know, because you kind of had something in your mouth.
Yes.
I was chewing a leaf.
And that kind of long mouth that they have, that absolutely worked so well. So there were little elements of giraffeness, but you were a real person. And you're right, a giraffe sitting down, crossing their legs, thinking, oh, I don't know what I'm doing
here.
That's
not fair.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I could envision an actual giraffe at a zoo, you know, that kind
of
peering over. I felt like I had a very elongated neck.
Yes.
I definitely kind of...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You did, and you noticed things. You did the first thing. You said, well, it feels less like... And then you went, oh, the blinds have been pulled down.
Yes.
You noticed
yes.
there's all sorts
yes.
of things. Ooh. It was just so lovely. I really enjoyed that.
I'm going to keep us on that kind of spectrum, if I may, for you, Sam.
Yes.
Because we've got a police station or interrogation room, I would like you to create Miss Marple for me. And in whichever kind of incarnation of Miss Marple.
Okay.
But I think Miss Marple's take on feeling less like an office space might be really fun.
Okay. All right, Miss Marple.
Well, it feels less like an office space and more like an interrogation room at a police station. Well, the blinds have been pulled down and shut tightly. And I'm offered nothing but water in a paper cup here as well as I wait. I wonder if they'll offer a phone call. Now, never having been in this situation before, I'm unsure how to behave. My nephew Raymond says I wasn't so much as sent to the headmaster's office at school, and my entire life has been kept in order, following each rule, carefully ticking every box, and now, I'm about to be punished. Yes, it suddenly feels unfair. Like all the years of good behaviour should count in my favour. And I should be let off.
I love that. I love it. I don't know where your nephew Raymond came from, but it's like...
Miss Marple. Miss Marple has a nephew called Raymond.
Does she?
And he's definitely called Raymond. I love
yes.
it.
I love it. That was... You could tell who it was.
Yes.
Straight away. That kind of character, yeah.
I saw you had a hat and the glasses.
Yes. And you aged up nicely there as well.
You did.
It's fun.
It
was
prim,
actually.
Yeah, you had the proper character.
It was prim and proper and a bit clipped, which was lovely as well. St. Mary Mead waiting for you.
Absolutely.
If you want to play along in the privacy of your own booth, as I've said before, we put the scripts in the show notes, you can have a try yourself.
Now, Chloe, you do quite a bit of ADR work, that's crowd ADR work. So can you explain what ADR is and, crucially, what skills voice actors need if they want to add ADR to their skill set?
Yeah, so it's additional dialogue replacement. Mm-hmm. So I've done crowd ADR for video games and TV programmes and films, feature films. Mm. And basically... You get given a code name and you turn up and you go, what are we doing? I have no idea what you're going to be doing.
Oh, it's as mysterious as that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And the first time I went, it was for a Netflix animation called That Christmas. We actually had the director in who directed the whole animation.
Yeah.
But there were 20 of us.
Wow.
And we kind of all went in. And basically, you're the background... noise, the waller.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to kind of do a whole scene all together with all of you and make up dialogue.
Am I right in thinking that the phrase waller came from the early actors that did it, and that's the word that they would use in the background because you can't make out what the word is? They were going waller, 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 waller.
I don't know.
That's certainly one of the stories that I've heard.
I've heard rhubarb. That's
and rhubarb as well. Yeah.
But you really have to articulate and say you know, you have to kind of say it quite loudly what you want to say, even though you don't actually hear it really when you're watching the film or whatever. You have to improvise. So yeah, so I've done it with a crowd of 20. I've done it with 8 people. I've done it with 6. You kind of watch the bit of the film or the program, and you see the background characters, and you're like, right, that person's obviously speaking to somebody in a, you know, in a hospital or something. We need to capture something that they're saying to each other. So you literally just go up to the mic and start improvising. And you have
so the sound is captured, but it's all down to the sound mixer to create the scene beautifully, because it will be very low in the mix, won't it?
Yeah, completely.
Mm. Wow.
You know, you'd never necessarily, I don't think you'd necessarily, you know, hear it particularly, unless it's not there.
Of course. And then you would hear it. Yeah.
Because when you're watching it sort of raw.
Yes.
So you can see the picture and everything.
Wow.
And then we're adding the layers, I guess.
So if you're playing sort of Lady in a Blue Hat in the, I don't know, the restaurant scene, say.
Yes.
Do you watch it and talk when she talks? And make up a conversation. And then you're not obviously with man in the black hat who's talking to you. So man in the black hat does exactly the same thing, but has no idea what you were talking about. Is that right?
Well, no. You do it in pairs sometimes.
Do you do it all together?
Oh. Yeah, you'll actually. Yeah. So that's why I love it, because even though it's quite scary, you're kind of like, what am I going to be doing today?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
But it's all improvisation. So, because you're with a group of other actors, you're kind of just playing for 4 hours or however long the session
is. It sounds fun. Is it a fun job to do?
I really enjoy it. Like I say, the first time I went, I was like, oh my God, I don't know what this is. what does this involve? I don't understand.
Yes.
But actually, once you get into your flow and your groove, and you might be able to find out a bit about what it is. So if it's, you know, set in a hospital or something, you might kind of want to sort of prep the night before, kind of going, right, you know, what kind of things might I be saying if I'm a patient?
Yes.
Or if, you know, I played like drunk wenches in a field, and
as you do.
I've done, you know, it's just really fun. But yeah, you have to kind of be quite bold, I guess. Kind of just come up with something and just go for it. And you try it loads of times, and then they'll get other people to do the same character that you've done, and they'll pick the best bits of work in the scene.
Because it's weird being the actors in the scene, because I've certainly done that in films before. And you don't talk out loud. You don't
No, indeed. It's all added later, isn't it? Yeah.
So you're having actually a silent conversation with people in that, because they obviously want to, you're in the background, and the two, you know, leads are having a conversation. They don't want you to talk, because they'll pick everything up. So you're totally silent.
Yes.
So I've done the other bit.
Oh, right. Oh, how interesting.
Well, it's a fascinating insight to both sides of ADR there. Mm. Chloe, thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Thank you. I've loved it. Thank you. I've really enjoyed it.
Oh, I'm so pleased. A reminder that all of Chloe Kilgallen's details can be found in the show notes.
Yes, and of course the scripts are there too. And if you want to see what we all look like in our booths, do check out the podcast by searching at HDYST podcast on TikTok and Instagram, and you can see us in action.
Yeah, I probably should have shaved. That's it for this week. Yeah. Thanks again to Chloe Kilgallen. We'll be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest, when we'll be asking,
How do you say that? How do you say that?